Aussie crypto exchange SwiftX is giving footy fans a chance to win Game 3 State of Origin tickets, flights, and accommodation. Simply trade $100 to enter. Visit SwiftX.com, SwiftX.com for details. Competition excludes residents of ACT, T's and C's apply.
But when my mates all ask me the place that I adore, I tell them right away. What do we tell them? Give me a home among the gum trees. With lots of plum trees.
We're going a bit further afield than the gum trees today, aren't we? Chris Parry, travel writer extraordinaire, joining us tonight. How are you, mate?
I'm going well. I was waiting for status quo, rocking all over the world.
Oh, were you?
What are we doing?
Well, we're just changing things up, that's all.
Okay.
If you're not happy, are you?
Well, I'll bring it up in the briefing meeting next week.
Good. Call me, let me know how it went. Now, we've talked about a lot of places to go, and from little towns close to regional attractions, states that don't get as much attention as others, regions that remain less loved than their neighbours. So many places to visit in an amazing place, but remain less visited. The three of the best that you know are?
Are we giving all the three away overseas? The ones that I think are the best hidden lands in well-discovered countries.
Right.
And of these three, you told me that you've been to one, and I'm going to have to try and guess what it is.
Okay.
But the three that we're going to be looking at are the Madikwe, which is a reserve up against the Botswana border in South Africa.
Right.
And then we're going to go south of Rome into the southern part of Italy. If you think of Italy, as we all do, as the boot, and think of a cowboy's boot where the spur would go. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Puglia, which sits on the spur of the boot.
Okay.
And then the other one that we're going to look at is in India.
India.
Yeah,
yes.
Down in the south there on the western coast, Kerala.
Right.
Around Kochi and the Munnar Highlands and the Alleppey backwaters. So there's three areas in three well-known, well-touristed countries that you just might not have been to.
Well, I've never been to India.
Okay.
So there you go. But my wife is, if that counts. And she
always
just
counts.
She loved it. But Kerala in southern India.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's I always think of India before I went to India. And I love cricket.
Right.
And whenever you read a cricketer's biography, if you think of someone like Stephen Waugh, they always talk about the crush of humanity and the congestion in the streets. And all the travel shows you see is that, you know, you need to spend half a day to get anywhere and you're always in a bus for hours and it takes an impossible amount of time to get anywhere.
Yep.
Kerala is completely different.
Oh.
I'm walking down the streets there and there's a tinkle of a bell and that's the Lotto Walla. The guy who's on his bike, he's about 80 years old, and he sells the lotto tickets in Fort Kochi, and he's telling me to get out of the way because I'm walking down the middle of the road. But there's no one else. It's quiet and it's peaceful and it's full of Portuguese and Dutch heritage. The hotel that I stayed in there in Fort Kochi was the headquarters of the Dutch East Indies 300 years ago. And across the road are the Chinese fishing nets, these amazing cantilevered nets that they drop into the water and then pull
back. Yeah, I've seen that on the telly, yeah.
Yep. So that's an extraordinary place to visit. And within Kerala, you've also got the Munnar Highlands where the British used to go for holidays and the wealthy Indians from the north. It's now full of tea plantations and the fog rises each morning from the valleys and people go up there to sort of get away for a weekend. And then you've also got just not that too far away from Munnar, you've got the Alleppey backwaters, which is an entirely natural system of inlets and rivers and bays. And again, it's full of people on the water in these enormous houseboats and they're barbecuing on the back.
Right.
As you pass them, the beautiful Indian smells of spices and everything being cooked. And there's just all sorts of life in the Alleppey backwaters. There are old men standing on the riverbanks just sorting out the world's problems. There are kids jumping into the water and throwing their dogs in as well and huge boats going past. It's just wonderful.
You paint an unbelievable picture, I've got to say. I mean, I'm sure people listening will just be building a picture in their mind's eye about what's going on in all these wonderful places. The Aleppo, is that right? Aleppo?
Yes, yep.
Backwaters. It's been referred to as the Venice of the East. Is that a good rap?
Look, I reckon Venice should be described as the Aleppo of the west.
Oh, okay.
It should be the other way around. I far enjoyed the Alleppey backwaters. That the space that is there and the life, it's just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you said it's quite large, isn't it? Bigger than Venice, isn't it?
I'm just looking at my notes to see whether I wrote down how large it is.
900 kilometres.
I did, yeah.
I've done my research.
Have you? Yeah. 900 square kilometres?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
canals.
And it's
naturally occurring,
yeah. And the name of the I'm just trying to think of the boats. The biggest one started out as grain ferries. They used to use, because there's a lot of rice paddies sort of around there as well, fields. They used to use these huge, not caravellas, but it's something like that. And they were these great big grain boats, and they've now turned these into floating, you know, B&Bs and outfitted them in first class ways for tourists to get on the water and
I'm about to
motor up
amaze
and down.
You again. It just came into my head. You know, I do read a bit from time to time. Catavellums.
Catavellums.
Would that
there
be
you
what
go.
You think?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Amazed everybody. Yeah. Including myself.
And if you give it a Google, they're a spectacular looking type of boat as well.
So if we get out of the water and up into the hills, past the waterfalls and tea plantations and roadside stalls and things, we would be in?
Munnar. Yeah, and Munnar is a magnificent town. And one of the things I really enjoyed there, I've never been to a place that has got so many tiffin shops. So the tiffin is that traditional way that Indians will have a meal, and quite often they'll have it delivered to them at lunch and dinner.
Yep.
Or they might take it from home, and it can be three or four or sometimes two canisters.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
Unclip it on the side, and your bottom one's got your rice, and the next one's got a little bit of meat or whatever it is you're having, and the top part might have just something else to go with it, the chutney, something like that. And I came home with some tiffins for the family and sent my kids to school with tiffins.
Did you?
Yep, with their school lunches.
But you can't put hot food in it or yeah, it's got to be – you can't heat them up, can you?
Oh, you can put in anything you want in them.
Mm.
I was just putting the sandwiches and stuff in it for them, but you can put whatever you want. Right. Quite often in India, the people working will wait for the tiffin guy to turn up.
Ah, okay.
There'll be restaurants that just send out, just like Uber Eats.
Yep.
You know, with your bag of burgers or whatever, but they're sending out tiffins.
Tiffins.
Tiffins full of curry and rice. So,
fantastic.
Or appam, you know, rice batter and coconut pancakes.
In Munnar, yes. So India, fascinating place. There's no question about that.
Yeah, the Fort Kochi is just you know, the city is Kochi itself, but Fort Kochi is where you've got the historic coming together of those different, I guess, colonial empire powers. The same that we see in the south on the western coast of Malaysia, the same that we see in Western Australia with our shipwrecks, you know, that Dutch sort of heritage.
Right.
And I find it amazing to think, you know, when we look at our shipwrecks that we've gotten the story of the Batavia and the Zeitdorp and all these other ships, and then where I stayed at in Kerala, the headquarters of the Dutch East Indies at that time. 300 years ago, and a beautiful building that's now just a little boutique hotel overlooking those Chinese fishing nets.
I mean, there's been a lot of influence in India culture from other parts of the world, hasn't there?
Yeah, yeah. We look at Malaysia as well. You know, creating that melting pot, literally a melting pot with Indian culture.
Yep.
But to actually be there and to be in a place like Kerala, I just found quite remarkable that there's this place in India that no cricketers have ever spoken about. They've never told me that you can go to this place in India that's got quiet streets, whereas all we sort of think of India without actually being there is just how congested it must be.
Mayhem. Yeah.
But there's this beautiful area that you can go to and soak up the culture without the mayhem, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Italy.
Yeah.
Puglia.
On that spur.
Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was picked by by a company several years ago. I've been to Puglia a couple of times. The first time I went was to do a trek, a walking trek with a company.
Right.
And they thought that I was the right bloke to go along with them and do a story.
Right.
And when they said, because initially there was a choice of two, it was the Amalfi Coast or Puglia. And I thought, I definitely want to do the Amalfi Coast. Yeah, that's where I want to go.
Right.
And initially it was coming through in email.
Right.
And I thought it was pronounced Puglia. I'd never heard of it myself.
Right.
So, yeah, Puglia is quite an agricultural region. And as I say, it's on that east coast where the sort of spur would be on a cowboy's boot.
Mm.
And the capital is Bari.
Yes.
Well known for squid fishing. And they've got and old nonnas that sit in the street just picking the basil leaves off the bag of basil and sorting it. I reckon that's where you've been.
I'm just checking your knowledge here because, yeah, I have been there to Puglia. Yeah. And found it fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, we had a great. We went there with some friends. We actually drove all the way from Rome right down to the bottom.
Yep.
Into right to the bottom as far as you can go. Ooh. On the hill in Puglia. And we passed all the little houses with the
Trulies.
The Trulies with the, looks like an upside down ice cream cone for a roof.
Yeah, for anyone that can remember the cartoon The Smurfs, it's easy to think of the Smurfs living in the Trulies.
But we went to a christening whilst we were there. The food I loved, I got to say, and went to the markets and everything, and it was terrific. But we went to a christening where they served a 10-course dinner.
Gosh.
And I got to tell you, of local delicacies, there are quite a lot of stuff that ended up on a plate in front of me that I had never seen before or tasted, you know. So it was quite a fascinating experience. But, but we had
Aussie crypto exchange SwiftX is giving footy fans a chance to win Game 3 State of Origin tickets, flights and accommodation. Simply trade $100 to enter. Visit SwiftX.com, SwiftX.com for details. Competition excludes residents of ACT, T's and C's apply.
Chances are you're on the way to or from work, stuck in traffic, with someone butchering 90s hits in the car next to you. On days like this, you're probably looking forward to retirement. So wouldn't it be super helpful if you knew when the time comes you'll be retirement ready? Aware Super's free My Retirement Planner helps you understand how much you'll need to retire and helps you plan on how to get there, whether it's 2 or 20 years away. Aware Super is super helpful. Consider if Aware Super is right for you and read the PDS and TMD at aware.com.au/PDS.
We had a wonderful time there, and of course, another great place was Albarabello.
Albarabello, yes.
Yeah, Albarabello.
Yeah, well, that's
where the
really the home of the Trulies.
All the Trulies are.
Yeah,
yes,
so you see them, you know, as you say, you would have driven and you see them in the fields, a few old Trulie. But
yeah.
Albarabello is where you can walk the streets where they are, quite a collection of them.
But then let me take it away from you because you're telling the story, but I can talk with some authority about that particular.
You are the authority.
There. But Matera.
Yes,
now,
yeah.
Tell us about that.
Now, Matera is really interesting because we say it's Puglia, but it's actually, I think it's Basilica. I think that's the region that adjoins Matera. And I think technically Matera might be there, not in Puglia, but everyone that goes to Puglia goes to Matera.
Yeah, right.
And Matera is an amazing city that was recognised by the United Nations a few years ago as the one of the most continually habited civilization or population centres in the world.
In the world.
Yep. It's been continually habited. And it's been used in so many movies from The Passion of the Christ that I think Mel Gibson made.
Yes.
Right through to Live and Let Die with James Bond. And Wonder Woman has used it as well. And the reason that they use it is because of the amazing architecture. Sort of you get a cathedral at the top and then little stone buildings, but then it's from the gorges you've got all these cliffs and it's the cliffs that the people used to live in.
Live in, yeah.
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 So you can still you can see the cliffs, but also within the Sassy, which is like a big bowl, which is hundreds of years old.
Right.
These tight little alleyways, and at night it's just a soft yellow light that's sort of flickering. You can just walk the streets and watch the shadows flicker around you, and The thing that's amazing about the Sassy is that there are places there, restaurants and hotels, that are making use of those caves still.
Right.
So my family stayed in a cave hotel last year.
Yes.
And it overlooks the Sassy, the bowl. And we were there during the Festa della Bruna, which is one of the most madcap event festivals you could ever want to – well, we didn't initially think we wanted to attend it because it's just nonstop noise for a week. The day begins with fireworks and ends with fireworks.
Right.
Yeah. And it's all about fueling up the men who at the end of this festival rip apart the Lady Madonna on a float, and their manlyhood is determined by the size of the float that they're able to rip off.
Oh,
this thing visits each church.
Yes.
That's within the Sassy and within Matera. And then it's building up, and the local bishop, cardinal of the area, you know, gives his blessings, and the police are all standing around the float. And eventually the police relent and let all the men flood in and rip this thing to pieces.
Wow.
So that's the Festa della Bruna.
I missed that. Yeah. I wasn't there at the right time, obviously.
Well, that first time I'd been to Matera, it was just quiet. It was just beautiful and quiet, exactly what I'd expected. And then it just turned around completely with the family last year. We had to have plans for where we'd meet if we got lost and split up.
Right.
It was madness.
Yeah. The thing that I remember, this sounds a bit stupid, but one of the things that's vividly in my mind was the first time I'd ever eaten sea urchin.
Oh, okay.
And we went to the market,
yep.
And we were just walking around. And my wife, being Italian, you know, speaks language, and she was chattering to everybody. I had no idea what she was saying. Probably how do I get rid of this bloke with me anyway. this guy said, try this, you know, and he passed me, cut this thing in half, you know, it's with all the spikes and everything on it. And there's this yellowy, gooey sort of
phlegm.
Funny you should mention that. That's what I thought. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I went, I'm not eating that. Anyway, I did. And boy, oh boy, what a delicacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes. And did you come across a lot of polpo de griglia?
Yes.
The old grilled octopus?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for translating. I should know.
It was a bit rough.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I love octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's certainly a lot of it in Polignano a Mare.
Right.
Did you go there?
I don't think so.
Did you jump off the cliffs for the Red Bull diving competition?
No, I didn't, no.
Oh, okay.
No. I felt like it sometimes.
Because that is an amazing little town.
Right.
That's definitely worth spending a few days there, and you can hire a boat and go out and have a look at the caves that are underneath the cliffs as well. But it's got one of the best restaurants in the world that's in a cave and has been open for hundreds of years, the Grotto Palazzese. Yeah.
Yes, I've heard about that. Yeah,
yep.
But we didn't get there.
No?
Unfortunately, okay. we weren't there long enough. And I was still at that 10-course dinner. It felt like we were there for about 3 days.
Yeah.
We need to take a short break whilst we're talking about Italy. We've got another place to visit as well. We'll be back with our very own travel expert, Chris Parry, with Virgo on Saturday nights on Perth 6PR in just a sec.
Until 9, this is Saturday Nights with Virgo on Perth 6PR.
And we're talking to travel writer extraordinary Chris Parry. We're in Italy at the moment. We've been right down the bottom of the hill in Puglia. Now, you became a bit of a TV star in that area.
I
understand.
Yeah.
Now, in 1958, Eurovision Domenico Modugno sang Nel Blu de Pinto de Blu.
Yes, probably well known as Valare for people like Dean Martin.
Yeah.
But
you sang it as part of an Italian travel television show.
I did indeed, with a crowd who were wincing at my Italian, but Nel Blu de Pinto de Blu, Felice de stare lassù. There is a magnificent statue of him next to the... There's an inlet there, the Lama Monachile, where they do the cliff diving.
Right.
And there's a big statue of him with his arms out, and he's got a big bulge on his groin, as all Italian men like to have with their tight pants. The statue does. He's standing there like this with his arms out. and everybody goes up to the statue and sings a little bit of Nel Blue di Pinto di Blue.
Right, okay.
And so I was there with an Italian travel TV show and they said, can you sing it? And I said,
yeah.
Yeah, I can give it a bill.
You sure? You might have been a bit harsh with poor old Domingo. I mean, it might have been adult Kimbies he was wearing.
Maybe, yeah. But he was a local to Polignano.
Yeah.
So he is someone that they claim and embrace.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so, and one other, Grotto Palacese.
So that's the restaurant that's been there since
1700.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
And putting out some of the best grilled octopus you can have.
Wow.
And it's in a cave and you're sitting on the edge of the cliff. So you're sitting on the edge of Italy looking out over the Adriatic.
Wow.
And it's one of the most special experiences and expensive experiences you could likely have. But when in Puglia, you do what Puglia people do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Since 1700, people are still waiting to get in. Okay, so let's turn our attention now to South Africa,
yeah.
Another one of your delightful bucket list places that you like to go with your lovely wife, Matilda.
No, that's my daughter, Matilda.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Matilda's favourite movie was Blended. And I was actually on a 6PR travel show many years ago and I was talking about, you know, bucket lists and I was describing how Matilda has on her bucket list South Africa and looking at animals.
Right.
And they had just 6PR had as a listener, the manager of South African Airlines, and he called me after the show and said, let's make this bucket list thing happen. And it all came together over a course of a few months. We put a trip together.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden Matilda and I are landing in the Madekwe, which is up against the Botswana border, a very exclusive reserve and area. It's got different lodges and stuff you stay at.
Yeah.
The one that we were staying at, the Makanyani Sanctuary Retreats, you get a little villa by the river and it's glass all the way around and you get elephants walking past. But it's for that reason you're not allowed to walk to the main building on your own.
Oh.
You get an armed escort.
Is that right?
Because there are things less friendly than elephants that might be outside your room.
Wow.
So you do a morning safari and an afternoon safari and an evening safari and they talk in code in the vehicle because the poachers might be listening. So they might say something like, has anybody seen my girlfriend today? And someone will reply back, I saw her down by the river swimming earlier, which might be code for the fact that it's actually a leopard.
Wow.
That it's not his girlfriend.
So. I feel as if I'm back in Materia now making a James Bond movie.
Yeah, yeah. So they do all this sort of code speak to put off the poachers a bit.
Right.
And the amazing thing with the Madekwe and a lot of South Africa, it's like the Kimberley. If you've been up to the Kimberley in that red earth. So yeah, we landed in a little plane and my first thought was that, wow, this is just like the Kimberley. It's remarkable,
right.
You know, that how it looks like the Kimberley region. And then all of a sudden there's gazelles prancing across the front and there's an elephant and we go through a river and there's hippos and rhinos and there's Elton John on a rock singing the Circle of Life. It's just extraordinary.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 75,000 hectares.
That's right. You've been doing your homework.
The fifth largest reserve in South Africa.
Yep.
But the least known. I find that remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely the least known. And for that reason, you get lots of opportunities to see the things that you're there for. Some people are there to see the big five, so your elephants and your rhinos and your hippos and your lions, and other people are there for the ugly five, which is the wildebeest and the different sorts of storks and things like that. The warthog, he's on the ugly five.
Yep.
So you see all these animals, and I still have, I think my most favourite sight, and you know, we saw lions and the sound of them crunching and the visceralness of that is quite extraordinary. But I remember watching five hyenas emerge from the scrub on a dawn safari and they've been out all night hunting and they're exhausted and there's blood around their mouths. They've obviously caught something and fed on it, but they're making their way back to wherever they're living and they don't care about us. They're just walking, they're staggering. But one of them was limping. You know, you start thinking, you know, Limpy probably didn't last that much longer with all the hyenas. But just watching them be draggled and exhausted make their way back to where they would shelter for the heat of the day.
It's fascinating, the experiences that you've introduced Matilda to. How old was she, by the way, when you were doing all this?
She was 12.
12,
For that trip, yeah. Okay. And so the movie blended, which had Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, and it was set in Sun City. They did a safari drive and right. that sort of thing. So yeah. we incorporated some of that, but the Madikwe Reserve, certainly if you're going to go to South Africa and you're looking for a safari experience, can't recommend that highly enough.
Right. Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So how does one find out about all these things that you've been to? Give us a clue. We've gone quickly through India, Italy, down the bottom there in Puglia, and now we're Madikwe, is it?
Madikwe.
In South Africa. So what should people do? I mean, you've painted a fantastic picture of all these places, I've got to say, Chris. Just terrific. Got my travel juices going. There's no question about that. So what should people do?
I think the best thing to do if you're looking for a different area in a country that you might have been to before and seen those well-touristed places, then just do that Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole and just look for, you know, just try in your search engine, whatever you're using, put in different words, you know, agricultural region of Italy.
Right.
And you'll get Paul Lear come up. Put in, quiet towns and you'll get Albarabello and you'll get Locca Redondo.
Right.
You'll get these towns come up. Put in southern Italy, put in northern Italy, put in mountainous, you know, mountaintop villages, things like that. Move beyond what you know.
Yeah.
Which is like the big centres of Florence and Rome. And,
sure.
Yeah. So just enjoy the exploration and then plan your trip based on what you discover.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly the man to talk about it. You've done all of these things and I find it absolutely fascinating. So I hope everybody else does that's listening to Virgil on this Saturday night on Perth's 6pm. And I thank you very much for your expertise, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. And I did check all your history notes on Puglia, and I have to give you a very high pass mark.
Oh, good. No lies. I haven't embellished.
No, not at all.
You can't embellish in a region like that. It's all there before you.
And I just reminded me of that 10-course dinner I had. I a crook the next day or what?
Can you remember any of the courses? What was the first and what was the last?
Wine.
Wine were nine of the courses.
It was wine before, during, and after. They don't hold back, I tell you, down there in Puglia.
No.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic time. Mate, nice to talk to you as always. Look forward to doing it next week.
Absolutely.
All right, good on you. Chris Parry, travel writer extraordinaire with Virgo here on Perth 6PR.
Hey, tradies, where do you go for the biggest range of steel supplies in WA? It's got to be Medalia Steel. With branches across the state, Medalia Steel has you covered with rheobar, roofing supplies, structural steel, pipe, flat bars, angle and more. Plus, if you need it cut to size and delivered to site, no worries. See your local Medalia Steel team today. Find your nearest Medalia Steel centre at medaliasteel.com.
That's new.
Yep.
Does it roast?
Yep.
Double hot plate?
Triple.
Oh, is that a smoker?
Imported from Texas.
Bar fridge?
Underneath.
Stocked?
Be rude not to.
The good stuff?
The gold stuff.
Knew it.
Life's good when you give a Forex.
From Point Cook to Portsea, Craigieburn to Cranbourne, no matter where your business is based or where your work takes you, at CommBank, we're proud backers of Melbourne's Business Yakka. Whether you need a fresh injection of capital, an integrated payment platform, or transaction banking services. We've got the tools, tips, and tech to keep you kicking financial goals. We're here to keep Melbourne business moving. So talk to one of our local specialists today. Search CommBank Business.